You are listening to Free Radio Olympia. Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show. Guess, kids, there you were, enjoying your privileged white status, blissfully ignorant of the fact that your shoes were manufactured by a child slave, until one day, you turned on your radio, and you were struck by the Thunderbolt! Hello, Cascadia! It's time to wake up! Yes, you better grab that cup of coffee, because you are about to be struck by the thunderbolt of truth and justice. Here it comes. Yes, kids, the thunderbolt is your guide to activism in Thurston County. I have news. I have commentary, I have a calendar for activist-related events, kick-ass music, and dumb jokes! So Cascadia is off of the couch and into the streets! It's time to save civilization from fiery apocalypse! Though even the apocalypse is gonna have to wait until I have had a cup of coffee! All right. I am posting this show on Friday, December 13th. I have some reruns for you this week. And before you complain about that, keep in mind that I only replay shows that I am very well pleased with. You should especially keep in mind that since I am working a full-time job through the month of December, I can already tell you that I won't have time to produce a new show for the first week in January. So get used to it. This week's show is called Golden Eggs. Enjoy! Throughout the 1950s, the head of British intelligence operations against the Soviet Union was a Soviet spy. His name was Kim Philby, and he was never caught. He is suddenly popped up in the Soviet Union one day and said, "Ha ha ha, I was a spy the whole time.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I used to do it and I needed it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush, push, cash."
Actually, full disclosure, I am paraphrasing Mr. Philby's words here. And that was not the only spectacularly remarkable intelligence coup.
Standing at the machine every day for all my life, I'm used to do it, and I needed it.
That the Soviets have managed to pull off over the decades, but it was probably the most impressive. Russia has been to the forge more than once. They are very good.
I know you think I'm crazy. I ask you all the same. I know you're just an action. I will answer you. That's my game, cuz.
Everybody! Be somebody!
Showtime.
Everybody! Be somebody!
Showtime. Showtime. I know you're made of steel. I know you're gonna keep the beat. You're gonna dance with me and need no feet. I wanna see you dance. You're gonna follow me, please don't let me alone. Make up your mind, I'm not the kind who's gonna use a phone. Nespa.
So I have been writing off this whole Russia secretly controls Trump meme as hysteria from Democratic Party hacks that could not accept the election's outcome. However, that was before the Rump's people kept lying about a lack of Russian connections that later proved to have actually existed. It would appear as if some of the Rump's minions are just as inept at lying as he is. And in the context of questions about the Russians, this brings the obvious question. Why do the Rump's people keep lying about that particular question?
Standing at the machine every day for all my life. I'm used to do it and I need it. It's the only thing I want is just to rush.
So maybe
push.
There's a there. After all. Are what the facts are. The problem is that the facts are being ignored. And we now have a phenomenon called alternative facts. Well, actually, we've always had alternative facts. It's just that they have now become so ubiquitous that they have actually been identified and named in the media machine, which historically has itself been one of the central disseminators of these alternative facts. But whose monopoly has now been completely shattered by the Rump, who tours the country now like a rock star, spouting lie after lie after lie to his cheering armies of acolytes. I meant to say that the Rump was now touring the country like a rock star, spouting alternative fact after alternative fact after alternative fact to his cheering armies of acolytes. Yes, according to our new president, our two main domestic problems are that rich people pay too many taxes and that the United States is being invaded by millions of hard-working, good-natured, family-oriented people who have really good food and really fun music. Yes, be afraid. And concerning those immigrants, only the most ambitious even make the attempt to come here, and of that number, only the most resourceful make it through the insane gauntlet that they must negotiate in order to get here, meaning that we are getting the very best of the very best of the Mexican people. But in the alternative reality of Rump World, pretty soon,
we will find Bill Gates sleeping under a bridge while the rest of us are bowing down before our new taco truck overlords. Yes, be afraid. Be very afraid. And on the foreign policy front, in the alternative reality of our new president, our main problem is terrorism. Well, it would seem to me that one method of curbing terrorism would be to stop funding terrorist organizations with American tax dollars. But what do I know? Trump is preparing to kill the goose that has laid so many golden eggs for us. And I would argue that in spite of the wealth created by cheap and abundant oil, scientific and technological breakthroughs have actually been the biggest wealth generators in human history. All of that oil would have been of highly limited utility without all of the machines that the oil lubricates. And in addition, in the context of those wealth-generating scientific and technological breakthroughs, there is another class of immigrants that I am not hearing anyone talking about. Consider about 50% of the engineers, programmers, and designers in Silicon Valley are foreign born. China, Taiwan, and India are all very well represented in the burbs of San Jose. Most of them are in the United States under what is called an H-1B visa. Now, there are some who speak against the H-1B program. They say that these people are taking jobs from Americans. But the facts, as opposed to their alternative facts, are that the H-1B people have created many more jobs than they have taken by several orders of magnitude. The facts, as opposed to the alternative facts, are that it was largely foreigners that built America's great tech revolution. So ask yourself, why must Bill Gates stand before Congress every year justifying the fact that he absolutely, positively must have his small army of foreigners in order to conduct Microsoft's business? Well, here is why. The United States has the worst public educational system for both math and science in the whole developed world. Our students score dead last in every test and in every field. And this is not just for this year or last year either. This has been going on for decades. Yet at the same time, Silicon Valley is the world's mecca for technological expertise and innovations. Now, there are two reasons for this. The first is that, ironically, but not unintentionally, the United States also has the best institutions of higher learning in the whole world. Yes, these universities turn out highly developed and thoroughly educated brains every year. It's just that, unfortunately for the American students, they must spend their first year in college playing catch-up in order to make up for the many deficiencies within their grammar and high school educations, while most foreign students do not. The second reason for the U.S. being the world's leader in tech, in spite of our abysmal education system, is the H-1B visa. Thanks to the H-1B, there is a massive brain drain from the rest of the world into the United States every year. And not only that, but we get the cream of the cream from everywhere else simply because back in the day we established ourselves as the center not only of the technological world, but of the economic, educational, and cultural worlds as well. Yes, the United States is the place to be, and within the United States, Silicon Valley is the place to be. For technological engineers and entrepreneurs, anyway. The H-1B people are not replacing American workers, because there are virtually no American workers to replace. 50% of the PhD students that are majoring in physics in our American universities are foreign-born. And many of them stay here after graduation on an H-1B. This means that we are getting everyone else's best people in these fields as well. And these days, most of them are Chinese. And so, you may or may not ask, rather than sending all of their best and brightest to study in America's universities and then go to work in Silicon Valley, why doesn't China simply build their own universities and their own Silicon Valley and begin offering golden carrots to their own scientists? Well, I am theorizing here, but I believe a lot of that is cultural. For you see, Asian culture views individuals and society in a much different manner than the West does, in that subsuming the individual wants for the good of the whole is much more ingrained into Asian culture than it is in the West. Individualism is not usually a valued trait in Asian cultures. The nail that sticks out is the one that gets hammered down, is a popular aphorism in most Asian cultures. And as with most things in this universe, this attribute has positive aspects and negative aspects. For instance, this attribute means that most Asians stand ever ready to do whatever needs to be done to protect their families or their villages or their country or whatever. and this attribute makes Asians into an utterly united and truly formidable force when dealing with them from the outside. However, at the same time, this attribute also tends to stifle the crazy genius innovative creativity that is necessary for truly revolutionary change and technological advances to happen. In Asian culture, people such as Bill Gates and Elon Musk tend to be the nails
everybody
that stick out.
Need somebody sometimes, sometimes.
And that is why the Chinese are ever ready to beg, borrow, or steal all of the American patents and innovations that they can get their billions of little hands on. And that is why Chinese flood American universities with Chinese students. And that is why the Chinese are constantly getting caught with their hands in our technological cookie jar. The Chinese have trained a literal army.
Everybody.
Of top scientists.
Need somebody. Sometimes. Sometimes.
Who are very patient. And who will unquestioningly follow any orders that they are given. And who are fully capable of very efficiently doing whatever work is laid out before them, but who also have absolutely zip when it comes to any kind of creative thinking. In the United States, on the other hand, rather than hammering nails, we tend to put grease on squeaky wheels. After World War II,
I know you think I'm crazy, I'm gonna ask you all the same.
As I have often noted before,
I know you're just messing. That's my game.
Pretty much the entire world lay utterly devastated and at the complete mercy of the United States. This meant that the United States, in addition to all of the other advantages offered to the one unassailable economic and military power on the planet, became a mecca for displaced scientists the world over, especially the Jewish ones. People such as Albert Einstein, for instance. So consider this. Every American that has ever won a Nobel Prize in the sciences has been foreign-born. And what that means is that the great American scientific renaissance has been built almost completely by immigrants. From the Mexicans coming to pick our fruit, to the scientists coming to invent the newest technological breakthrough. We are getting the best of the best that the rest of the world has to offer. And we are getting them both through, quote, legal and illegal means. Argument could be made, in fact, that it was our immigrants that made America great in the first place. So I really hope that the xenophobes who are currently running our country do not allow their beliefs to trump the facts. However, I suspect that we will be operating in alternative realities for the foreseeable future. So that means it is both time to cover your ass and it is time to get to work. And actually, it's time to take a station break. We'll be right back in just a minute. The views expressed on the Thunderbolt are my views and no one else's. Those views do not necessarily reflect the views of any of the stations that air the Thunderbolt, nor anybody that has anything to do with any of those stations. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. Next, the Thunderbolt would like to present evidence that some anarchists are idiots. At Berkeley, California, the home of the free speech movement, a bunch of anarchists successfully shut down the free speech of a white-wing firebrand named Milo Yiannopoulos. Now, Mr. Yiannopoulos intentionally says outrageously foul crap in order to goad liberals and anarchists into attacking him, because their attacks provide him with the kind of publicity that you cannot pay for. Besides the fact that shutting down other people's free speech just because you don't like what they are saying makes me rip my hair out after they shut down his speech, in nutcase right-winger world, Mr. Yiannopoulos was elevated to the status of a legendary folk hero. Sales of his book skyrocketed. He was even given a prestigious speaking slot at the CPAC conference. Yes, those anarchist kids provided Mr. Yiannopoulos with the kind of publicity that you cannot pay for. But then, an old video of Milo Yiannopoulos promoting the glories of raping children surfaced. And evidently, raping children is a bridge too far even for the rump bots. Mr. Yiannopoulos's career now appears to have instantly fallen into the toilet. And no one has any interest in Mr. Yiannopoulos's free speech anymore. The flurry of denunciations and cancellations included his big career-making speech at CPAC. And I can't help but note with conscious irony that Mr. Yiannopoulos thus fell because he was allowed his free speech.
Oh.
Yes. And as if things weren't already crazy enough around here, now it is time to pull out some old Sinatra LPs and fire up the old VCR, because the toothless old grandpa himself is waiting in the wings to take us away. Well, hey, Grandpa, so how is things on your side of reality?
Well, son, my reality is currently being dominated by the fact that liberals are such a bunch of idiots.
Ooh, ouch. One thing I will say for you, Grandpa, is that we can always count on you for...
You can count on me to can the crap and bedoodleate the fartuplias is what you can count on me for. I like to tell it like it are, and we is gonna go blast us a few liberals with a few choice...
Thunderbolts!
So hang on to your dogma, cause we's gonna go and gut us some sacred cows now. Yippee, yee-haw, yay!
So I forget who she was, and I even forget what she did for a living. But some celebrity-type person was planning a trip to South Africa recently when she tweeted a sarcastic joke about not having to fear contacting AIDS whilst in South Africa because she was white. Ha ha ha. Good one. Wish I'd have thought of that. However, her joke triggered a wave of social media outrage. Okay, I personally know that the world is full of people who don't understand and or do not appreciate ironic sarcasm. My own twisted sense of humor has gotten me into trouble on more than one occasion. That's a gimme. However, all respect I had for the unknown celebrity in question flew out the window when she subsequently and abjectly apologized. WTF? Really? Some self-righteous, humorless idiots who cannot take a joke get upset, and you freaking apologize to them? So I quit expecting everyone else to be like me a long time ago. And in fact, if I ever meet anyone that even remotely resembles me, I suspect I would find it a rather alarming experience. But really? Had the same thing happen to me, I can guarantee you that not only would I have refused to apologize,
McKinney, hollering, McKinney, squad, Doc said, McKinney, I can't find the code, you're bound to die, you're bound to die.
But I would have suggested
that I had been engaging in highlighting the absurdity of racism, and that I not only considered highlighting the absurdity of racism to be an honorable thing to do, but I consider highlighting the absurdity of racism to be a required thing to do.
Oh, it's okay, you rascal, see what you've done. You shot my husband, I got your gun. I'm taking you back, Washington. You're ticked, you're bound to die, bound to die.
And thus, rather than an apology, I would have instead suggested that my critics could go engage in some physically impossible sexual act with one of their maternal ancestors.
Already buried in the White House, doing his best. Kenny in the graveyard, taking in the rest. He's gone, long gone.
Yep, as I always say, choke them if they can't take a... She should have demanded an apology from them.
And now, ladies and gents, I have the privilege to play for you for the first time what I'm sure will be a hit record for Uncle O and Senator Jim Shady. Hold on, folks, but she twinks.
And here is even more evidence that some liberals are total idiots. There's a big move to impeach the Rump. Now, if they impeach the Rump, then we get the Pence. So it's pretty obvious to me that Mike Pence was the price that the uber wealthy radical right-wing Christian jihadists demanded of the Rump in return for their support. Now, Mike Pence is in tight with people such as Eric Prince, and thus our new vice president theoretically has access to a private mercenary army, should he feel the need of one. And Mike Pence is in tight with organizations such as Operation Rescue. In addition, Mike Pence enthusiastically embraces the ideology of killing in the name of. Yes, kids, Mike Pence has serious money behind him. He has serious organization behind him. And I personally consider Mike Pence to be a Trojan horse for the witch burners, who could never get one of their own into the White House by any normal means. And that means that a President Pence would be exponentially worse than a President Rump by several orders of magnitude. So unless you want a full-fledged theocrat sitting in the White House, then I would suggest that if anything, we should all probably be praying for Donald Trump.
time, Grandpa. You certainly have a way with things. And thus ends part one of the Thunderbolt, Why You Should Be Upset. Next comes part two, What Can Be Done About It? Across Cascadia, the masses are arising in response to
the Olympia Action Alert
for the week of December 14th through December 20th, 2019. All right, and we're up with this week's calendar. Our first event is later today, Saturday, December 14th. It's the Olympia 4 Holiday Gathering. This will be from 11 a.m. to noon on West 4th Avenue at Percival Landing. This event was organized by the Olympia Fellowship of Reconciliation, and this is their message. People are warmly invited to participate in Olympia's 44th annual Holiday Peace Vigil, Saturday, December 14th, along West 4th Avenue, on the south side of Percival Landing and north of the Heritage Fountain. The Olympia Fellowship of Reconciliation sponsors this annual peace vigil, which has become a beloved Olympia tradition. We welcome children. Olympia 4 provides signs, and participants may bring their own. The Artesian Rumble Orchestra will perform and help us dance to keep warm. So again, this is the Olympia 4 Holiday Gathering, Saturday, December 14th, 11 a.m. to noon at the Olympia Center on West 4th Avenue at Percival Landing. Also on Saturday, December 14th, it's Duck the Malls 2019. This will be from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Capitol Theater. That's at 206 5th Avenue Southeast. This event was organized by Duck the Malls, and this is their message. An awesome local craft fair is taking place inside the historic downtown Olympia Capitol Theater. This event was created to support local and independent artisans and artists in the South Sound and visual art programming at the Olympia Film Society. Duck the Malls has become a holiday tradition and draws a huge part of our community members wanting another great opportunity to shop locally, creatively, and alternatively for the holidays and support true craftsmanship. There is no entrance fee for shoppers. The only contact information I have is a Facebook event, though the Olympia Film Society has a website at olympiafilmsociety.org. So again, this is Duck the Malls 2019, Saturday, December 14th, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. at the Capitol Theater, 206 5th Avenue Southeast. Also on Saturday, December 14th, it's the Trans Expansive Potluck for youth and their families. This is from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 700 4th Avenue East. This event was organized by Unite Olympia, and this is their message. Unite Olympia presents an inclusive, trans-expansive, transgender, non-binary, and questioning potluck for elementary and middle school youth and their families. Come join us in our community room on Saturday from 11 to 1 p.m. Come build community and enjoy great food. Unaccompanied youth must present a signed permission slip for entry. So again, this is the Trans Expansive Potluck for youth and their families, Saturday, December 14th, from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at 700 4th Avenue East. And then finally, later this evening, Saturday, December 14th, it's a potluck at Stonewall Youth. This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at Stonewall Youth, 112 State Avenue Northeast. This event was organized by Stonewall Youth of Olympia, and this is their message. It's time for a Stonewall Youth Community Potluck. Our all-ages community potluck are queer-centered and also open to folks who don't identify as LGBTQ+. Bring yourself, your friends, your chosen family, and or that person you've been meaning to hang out with. The theme of this potluck is community care and well-being. Along with feasting, we'll talk together about how we can take care of ourselves and each other during these stressful times. No alcohol, please. The event is free. Of course, we will be delighted if you want to donate some funds to help us cover the costs of the event. Stonewall Youth is committed to making these monthly potlucks a safer place for all our community, particularly LGBTQ+ folks, youth, people of color, elders, and low-income folks. Bring your respect. No contact information except a Facebook event. So again, this is a potluck at Stonewall Youth, Saturday, December 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. at Stonewall Youth, 112 State Avenue Northeast. All right, moving along now. Next event is tomorrow, Sunday, December 15th. It's the Winter Really, Really Free Market. I used to be one of the organizers for the Really, Really Free Market, and it's good to know it's still around. This will be from noon to 4 p.m. at Sylvester Park, 615 Washington Street, Southeast. This event was organized by the Olympia Assembly, and this is their message. The rainy season is upon us, and the Really, Really Free Market is returning to Sylvester Park. On December 15th, we'll be in the park from noon to 4 p.m. Come on down to take, trade, or give whatever you want. All items are free. Hopefully, there will be hot food. If you want to donate or volunteer, PM or email rrfm.oly@gmail.com. Again, that's rrfm.oly@gmail.com to let us know. So again, this is the Winter Really, Really Free Market. Sunday, December 15th from noon to 4 p.m. at Sylvester Park, 615 Washington Street, Southeast. Our next event is Monday, December 16th. It's the Ole Surge December 16th General Meeting and Potluck. This will be from 6 to 8 p.m. at the United Churches of Olympia. That's at 110 11th Avenue, Southeast. This event was organized by Olympia Standing Up for Racial Justice, and this is their message. Ole Surge has a monthly general meeting that is open to the public on the fourth Monday of each month from 6 to 8 p.m., altered this month because of holidays. We have newcomers with a core values meeting from 5:30 to 6. We host quarterly potlucks, and December's general meeting is a potluck. The purpose of the potlucks is to break bread and share food together and get to know each other. Please bring food to share or arrive hungry. Surge provides a space to build relationships, skills, and political analysis to act for change. The Olympia Surge chapter is a multiracial group striving to put white people in motion to fight white supremacy. The United Churches of Olympia is on the number 12, number 13, and number 68 bus routes. There are parking lots in front of and behind the church. The building has a ramp and ADA-compliant restrooms. Enter through the main doors on 11th Avenue. The meeting is on the main floor. Child care is provided for this meeting. Please email us at olympiasurge@gmail.com if you will need child care so we roughly know how many children to expect or if you have any other access needs. Thank you. We look forward to connecting with you. So again, this is the Ole Surge, December 16th, General Meeting and Potluck, Monday, December 16th, from 6 to 8 p.m. at the United Churches of Olympia, 110 11th Avenue, Southeast. And finally, on Thursday, December 19th, it's a supplies drive for the Ole Mutual Aid Partnership. This will be from 1 to 6 p.m. at 115 Legion Way Southwest. This event was organized by 115 Legion, and this is their message. People will be donating to the supplies drive hosted by Olympia Mutual Aid Partnership. People can drop off supplies every third Thursday at 115 Legion Way Southwest from 1 to 6 p.m. We meet every Monday to distribute supplies and food to a houseless camp. We strive to build community and eliminate boundaries between our neighbors and community. People who wish to help are donating canned food, tarps, socks, batteries, and reusable items. They are also donating at paypal.me/justhousing or becoming a patron at patreon.com/justhousing. So again, this is a supplies drive for the Ole Mutual Aid Partnership, Thursday, December 19th, from 1 to 6 p.m. at 115 Legion Way Southwest. And that's it for the calendar this week. I have time for a quick song before we go. These are the Books. Enjoy. That song was called Deaf Kids, and it was by a band called The Books, and I don't really know anything else about them except they do crazy music. That's it this week. We'll see you next week. Peace. The Thunderbolt is a production of Dancing Angel Media, which is solely responsible for the content. Neither the stations that air the Thunderbolt, their sponsors, their members, their underwriters, nor anyone else that has much to do with anything else in any way, is responsible for the content of the Thunderbolt. Nor do they necessarily agree with the views expressed on the Thunderbolt. If you have any comments, or if you wish to express an opposing opinion, you should send an email to dana98501@gmail.com. And we will make arrangements. And I hope that you have a day. And please note that the Thunderbolt is on Facebook, where you can find links to the show and to the show notes, or you can now go directly to the Thunderbolt WordPress site, which is at dana98501.wordpress.com.
Thank you very much.